It is so good to be with you. Oh, let's give Megan a hand. That was lovely. Come on. And Carlos is not here now. Okay. So, I want to share a few things with you that I trust is going to... I'm going to share some stories with you. Alistair and them, they were in Hermanus end of last year. I'm going to share some of the same things. Just the starting point where I normally start off. I need a week to actually take you on a journey where... To in a sense, take you where the things that God has done in us over the last 3-4 years. And I trust it's going to stir hope in your heart. And faith. You know, because if God can do this through me, if God can do these things through me, He can do it through you. And more. Amen. So I'm going to share some of the things about, I want to share about it, the presence of God. Because I believe that's the starting point of everything. Everything flows from the presence of God. And it's such a privilege for me to be here, staying in Carlos and Elmarie's home. You guys are amazing. Love you so much. Let's give them a hand. Come on. Woohoo! They are beautiful people, beautiful hearts. They love God. They love people in such a precious way. And it's awesome to be here. You guys are amazing. God can do anything with you, anything through you. It literally just begins with believing. Just position yourself in a place where you can believe that God can use me powerfully. So I've been in ministry now for 14 years or so. And around 8-9 years ago, I went through a very dark season of my life. Very dark season for about 2 years. And I was in ministry for four or five years. And then I went through a very dark season. I really lost my way. I was like on a little boat on the stormy oceans. I didn't know anymore who I was, if I was coming or going. I was just really lost, and I remember I was a youth pastor. Started as youth pastor in Stellenbosch. Studied engineering originally, then was youth pastor for a few years with old David here. He was my first recruit. We had a good time together. And then I went to Bellville, in between Cape Town, Stellenbosch. I went there to this medical campus, was student pastor for a few years there. And at the end of that season, everything fell apart. Everything. I was demoted. I was given an admin job. I was told, you don't have an anointing for ministry. But you're good at admin. So go do admin. Now, you know Heinrich that was here? Oh, he's still coming back again on Tuesday. Now, he was a very good friend of mine at that time already. I became his personal Bible school assistant. That was my job. And so it was very humbling. You know, you have a master's degree in engineering, and you've been doing all these things, 4 or 5 years ministry, preaching, doing all these things, and now suddenly all of life falls apart. Everything. I was like considering just going back into engineering. I was really just... I was depressed for months. I didn't know if I was coming or going. But the only thing I knew, I knew one thing. I wanted to be part of what God is doing. And I could see that God was changing lives through the church. So I'd serve any place. I just want to be part of what God is doing. And so I was then for 2 or so years doing this admin things. And I remember then the one time my wife and I, we went to for on holiday somewhere, like in Knysna, for those who know where Knysna area is. And so I remember then driving back, and as we were driving back, just in the car driving, the next moment the presence of God floods the car. It floods the car in such a way that I was weeping. I couldn't see where I was driving. In the midst of this confusion, not knowing who I am, not thinking I'm ever going to be pastoring again, not knowing what the future holds, the presence of God flooded into the car, and I just heard the voice. You see, in the presence of God, that's where God speaks, when you're in His presence. And so in the midst of that, the Lord spoke to me, and He told me, I'm going to transform you. I'm going to transform you and your wife. You will not recognize yourselves in the near future. And then the next place we stopped, I wrote everything down. You see, but the prophetic word, it unlocks something. You see, the prophetic word is, you see, God is in eternity. He sees everything. And so he goes, the Lord is in the future, and then he looks 10 years in the future or 5 years in the future, and then he comes back and he comes and tells you, hey, this is what I've got planned for you. This is what I'm going to do. And when the prophetic word is released, it actually births, it accelerates you into the will of God from that moment. Doesn't matter where you are at. Doesn't matter how dark, how dreary, how confused you might be. The Lord relates to us according to our future identity. He sees you as, you know, Gideon, the mighty man of valor. He sees that and he speaks that into being. And that's in a sense what happened. I was lost. I was confused. I didn't know what the future held. But then the word of the Lord came. And I want to release this over you today. To pursue that word. Because it changes everything. You have no idea who you are. I promise you. And you have no idea the awesome things that God has planned for your life. You can only know it through the prophetic word. No man can give it to you. People will normally tell you the opposite. And so there's a process that started there in my life. And then the opportunity came to go to East London, not very far from here, west to east, just very close. And we went to East London and we started the church with 15 or so people, 20 people. And I remember the people telling me, because the church had been on that phase for 2 years or so. And then the people were so negative. That they, I remember I was in the house one day and the one lady, I was going up the stairs and she told my wife, this church is not going to grow, you know, just that negativity there was, because if you look at the natural, it doesn't give you confidence or faith to move into the will of God. It rarely does. So you must see with the eyes of the Spirit. You must see with the eyes of the Spirit. And I remember in that time, I remember just the Lord just saying, prepare for growth. It's going to grow. It's going to grow. It's going to grow, you know. And never planted a church. And didn't know if I had it in me, you know. And the Lord really blessed the church. I mean, we sometimes up to 400 people now. And God really, really did amazing things. But I remember it all began with a prophetic word. There was this moment where the Lord had to release that word. And I have learned I must live by the prophetic word. You need to live by the word. You need to see yourself according to the word and walk into that. Anyways, that's on the side. There was a word on Friday night about the bride that is in a wheelchair. And I just felt the Lord drop this into my heart in terms of his bride in Europe, in the UK. That I mentioned on Friday night, but I feel God is saying the reason the bride is in the wheelchair is because the bride is looking away from her Savior. It's like there's darkness, there's confusion, there are challenges. And what happens is we have been looking at God. And then because of the challenges, we look to the side. We look away. We look to everything that's going wrong, everything that's the darkness. We look at the darkness. And the result is we look away, we lose faith, we lose confidence, we lose hope, and we become like a bride in a wheelchair. And my heart's just really, you know, over this weekend, just really praying. And my passion is to see the body of Christ arise, the bride to become beautiful. I believe that's my destiny, to help the bride become beautiful, to be like the eunuch, you know, that just the bride, just preparing the bride for the bridegroom. I want to release over you guys that the Lord can today begin to shift things in your hearts and lives and in this church and restore hope and faith and cause his kingdom to come like never before. Sometimes you have to go through a bad season, even like I did, a few years. Well, it started with 2 years, and then we went to East London. My wife was 8 months pregnant when we started there in there were 15 or so people. And then my wife got postnatal depression. And then for about 3 years, on and off, she didn't sleep. On and off. Like, she'd get in bed at 8 o'clock, 8:30, around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. She'd still not sleep. It was like this heaviness in our house. But 3 years, on and off, absolute chaos. But do you know what happened in the midst of that season? I came to the conclusion that I have a theology that God is powerful, but my reality says he isn't. In Shofar, we believe God is powerful, but how many of us actually know His power, live in His power, walk in His power? And I came to that point. I remember I made a point. So the first 3 years of our church, we are 7 years, about 4 years ago this started. I came to a point that I was absolutely desperate for more of God. For the sake of my wife, because it was destroying our family, and for the sake of our church, there's so many people in our church that they were living defeated lives, variety of different things. And in the midst of that, I made an appointment with some of our leaders, our small group leaders, and I made an announcement. I said, guys, we are going to pursue the power of God like never before. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. For the sake of my wife, for the sake of my family, we're going to pursue the Lord. I've never been as persuaded, as determined in my life. And the key was His presence. Because you find His power when you're in His presence. And so I pursued His presence. I would like worship. My wife and I, we just started, she's a worship pastor now at our church. And she'd play on the piano. We just worship God for sometimes hours a day. Just pursue Him, pursue Him. And then the Lord started to unlock things. You see, everything flows from His presence. Get into His presence and things will change. You will change. You will be restored. You will find hope and faith. When you look into His glory, when you look into His beauty, when you look into His majesty, things change. Things change. How can the angels in Isaiah 6 say, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is filled with the glory. No, it isn't. It doesn't look like it, does it? But when you're in His glory, all you see, you will see glory. You'll see opportunities. You'll see possibilities. It changes everything when you are in His presence, when you see Him. And so anyway, so we started to pursue the Lord. Everything within us. I started to pursue the power of God, specifically healing, that God would heal. And I remember end of 2012, we were in a leaders meeting. And I remember, and so in that year, the Lord healed my wife, praise Jesus, of a skin disease, and also healed her of the 3 years of hell. Thank you, Jesus. Another two people were healed. I think shoulders were healed. Then the end of 2012, the Lord told me, I heard the voice of God in a leader's meeting. We're worshiping, just in His presence, worshiping. And then the Lord told me, there's an outpouring of healing coming. Pursue it. Pursue it. And so beginning 2013, we went to India. And I told Megan went with me on the first team. And I remember communicating with the pastors. I just told them, guys, we want to pray for the sick. I don't have a cooking clue how to do it. I didn't tell them that. I have no idea how this works, but all I know is Jesus said, gun for healing. So we did. And so in 2013, we had 100 people physically healed. Woo-hoo. In 2014, we had 191 people physically healed. And then last year, we had 420-something people physically healed. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a hand. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. It's Him. It's good. God is good. And it's not because I'm special. It's just something shifted on the inside of me. I became desperate for more of God. I became desperate for more of God. And that unlocked more of God's power. And it just started with healing, but there were so many other things that the Lord started to unlock in our church. And what I believe is a model for the body of Christ in terms of how to do ministry more effectively. So I want to just quickly just take you through a few scriptures. I wrote a book called Increasing Heaven's Flow. Okay? And it comes down to a model that the Lord showed me. Let me start off. Let me read this. Acts 3:19. So I'm gonna trust for just a bit of a heart mind shift. I want you to believe that all things are possible. Because that's what the scripture says. All things are possible with God. All things. It begins with one person that starts to believe. One person that says, I am tired of living a life that I believe, that my theology says God is powerful, but I'm not seeing His power in our midst. Acts 3:19, it says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. But it says repent. Obviously, it speaks of salvation. But the word repents means a change of heart and a change of mind, a change in your thinking. It's like with the bride, because she's been looking away, because she's been looking at the darkness. Oh, the darkness is so big. I for years believed, the power of the devil. Oh, I was big on intercession, spiritual mapping, in the sense of spiritual mapping, and every Freemason thing, and this, and all this, all the bad stuff. That was my focus. I was looking away from the goodness and the glory of God. You can't have faith when you look into the devil's face. You must look into the glory of God if you want to see His fullness. And so when the bride looks at all the darkness, you won't have faith and hope. But when repentance comes, that's like a looking away from that and looking to the Lord, looking to our Savior, looking into His majesty. Things are different. I was doing a video Skype call with a leadership of a church in Buenos Aires earlier this year. And while I was doing this, I was praying for them at the end, and I saw a vision of like a canyon. I saw someone like halfway down in this, the deeper you go, the darker it becomes. I saw a person like dark in darkness. And then I saw the Lord lifting this person up to the top of the canyon, like on the hill, and just radiating in the glory of God. Just looking at the glory. And I heard the voice of God saying to me, everything is different. Everything looks different from up here. Everything looks different from up here. There's a place in the Spirit where everything looks different. You don't look with the eyes of man. You look with the eyes of your heart. Everything looks different from up here. And I believe that's repentance. That's that change in your thinking, change in your perspective, so that you can see things as God sees them. Okay, that's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is to see things as God sees them. And the result is nothing can steal your hope or your faith. So, I want to just quickly take you through the essence of this book, which is a devotional. It's about renewing your mind. But let me just take you through a few scriptures. While the Lord was unlocking this healing anointing and the grace of God to see lives to begin to change in that way, the Lord started to show me, because I've always been pursuing, what is the best way to do church? How can the church be beautiful? Because I know the bride is supposed to be beautiful. But how? How can the bride be beautiful? And then the Lord started to speak to me about the fivefold ministry. So I'm just going to quickly share something about that to give you the bigger picture. And then I'm going to get into just focusing on the presence of God. And so, Revelation 22, verse 1. It says there, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb." So there's a river flowing from the throne of God, a river of the Holy Spirit, a river of life. Okay, now the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 47:9, he also saw, he had a God encounter, and he also saw a river. But he didn't just see a river, he saw rivers. It says, "And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live." Say, "will live." Okay, so wherever the rivers go, everything will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. So it doesn't matter how dead the people are. It doesn't matter how challenging the environment might be. When the river flows from the throne of God, it brings life. It brings life. Everything will live wherever the river of the Spirit flows. And now Jesus came and he gave an amazing fresh perspective on this. John chapter 7:38. Jesus speaking, he says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So Jesus is saying, when the circumstances are wonderful and perfect, and you're not in the UK, then rivers of living water will flow forth from your inner being. No. He's saying, he who believes, say believes. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers. Not just one river. Rivers of living water. Out of his heart. It's not dependent on circumstances. There are no hard places for the gospel. It's a lie to say there are some places that are just easier, others are not. It's rubbish. When Jesus died on the cross, when his blood fell upon the soil, every square inch of the earth, of the globe, became pregnant with kingdom reigning potential. But it comes down to your faith. If you have faith, rivers will flow forth. So Jesus said, and he was speaking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. So, and it comes down to his presence. When we position ourselves in his presence, then the kingdom comes. Then rivers of living waters flow forth from our inner being. So all you're doing is you're positioning yourself in the river. You know, go try and do a civilization in the middle of the Sahara Desert. It's going to be battling, huh? There's no water. I believe many churches have positioned themselves in the spiritual desert because we lack the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But if we position ourselves at the river of the Spirit, suddenly there's just life that flows through us. So I want to invite you to reposition yourself. I was in the ministry for more than 10 years, and then I realized I don't know his presence. 10 years. There's more. There is so much more. There is so much more that God wants to unlock in us. You know, in that same scripture in Ezekiel, it speaks about the angel measuring off like 1,000 cubits, and then he went through ankle deep. Then he measured off another 1,000 cubits, and then he went like knee deep or waist deep. You know that story? Going deeper in the river. And so there are different measures of living in the Spirit. So 2 years ago, I was in India. The first time that I experienced this, as you know, there's a lot of people in India. And so we preached the gospel and they queue, like long queues. And it was the second time in India. And I remember just holding the people's hands and the pastor would say, man, go quickly, just bless them and move on. He had no expectation anyone's going to get healed or lives will be changed. But I remember just holding the people's hands and they would say, Holy Spirit, come, presence of God, I welcome you here now. And I remember then my toes would start to tingle. And then they would get healed. 9 out of 10 people would get healed when I sense my toes tingling. And I was like, what is this toe tingling? And then I realized it's the gift of discernment. I'm discerning the measure that I am in the Spirit. And I was toe deep. Just toe deep. Huh? Toe deep. And look at what God is already doing. Then last year in Argentina, I went knee deep and it was next level. And then there was a season, second term, end of second term last year. There was this moment, we were going through a massive challenge at home. Long story, I won't give into it, but the old insomnia thing came back. So my wife didn't sleep for 9 weeks after I came back from Argentina. And I was so over it. So the one day I posted on the WhatsApp group of the pastors, and I said, guys, pray for us. We can't take this anymore. Please join us in prayer because I'm going to pray for my wife now. I'm going to trust in God for God's presence. I'm trusting for breakthrough. I posted it. 10 minutes later, I was in my office and the presence of God came into my ears were tingling. I was deep in the Spirit. And then I prayed for my wife for about an hour. She slept like a baby that night. After 6, 7 weeks of hell. Anointing. Measures in the Spirit. Measures. I believe God is allowing me to experience that so that I can sort of go deeper and tell the rest of the body of Christ, come on people, there's more. You like just dipping your toe every now and again in the Spirit. Come deeper. There's more, you know. And so Jesus said, he who believes in me, rivers of living waters will flow forth from his inner being. He believes. Isn't that liberating? That you are not dependent on your circumstances or whatever your environment. Jesus says, believes. Believe. Do you think Jesus was speaking the truth? He was. It literally comes down to believe. Get into his presence. Look into his majesty. Be transformed. And let rivers flow forth from your inner being. Amen. Come on, let's go deeper. I'm releasing hope over you right now. You are not a victim of your circumstances. The Lord told me this a few weeks ago. I am not a victim of my circumstances. My circumstances are a victim of me being in Christ. Because my circumstances join me in Christ when I am in Christ. Look at the history of Christianity. The more persecution, the more they throw the Christians to the lions, etc., the more Christianity expands. Real Christianity expands. The more pressure you put on the believer, the kingdom within, the more it expands. If we live by faith and we live in His presence. Amen. So I'm calling you into a deeper place in the Holy Spirit. So I want to show you this one picture. Of a guy in a wheelchair. I was thinking about the bride in the wheelchair. So this was, we went to Rio de Janeiro end of December, or in beginning December. We did a international revival conference. They sort of dubbed it that, you know, Brazilians like to market things big. And the Lord moves so powerfully. But this young man, he was shot in his neck 9 months before we prayed for him. And he quadriplegic, he couldn't even make a fist with his hands. And at the end of the one meeting, he came forward to commit his life to Jesus. And I've been feeling we need to pray for people in wheelchairs. So I just felt there's just a prophetic picture of this vision of the bride being like in a wheelchair. And so we prayed for him for about an hour or so. And we had a nice big crowd around us. Everybody looking and etc. And so we praying for him. It was amazing. He couldn't make a fist with his hands. He had no feeling from his stomach down. No feeling. I could pinch him, touching his feet. He felt nothing. Now we praying for him. And all we praying is, God, let your presence come. Because you see, when the presence of God comes, everything that is contrary to the presence of God must go. When light comes, darkness must go. When the healer is present, sickness must go. So we prayed for him, and then about halfway through, suddenly he could make fists with his hands. How cool was that? So we were like, yes. And but then he said, while we were praying for him, he just said he felt fire on his stomach and on his legs and on his feet. But he couldn't feel any physical things, but he felt fire. He felt the presence. You see, often when we pray for people, they say, I feel the fire. I feel the fire. I feel the fire. Holy Spirit, fire. Anyway, after about an hour, he didn't walk. But 2 days later, they said he got his feeling back in his stomach and his legs and his feet. And I must not follow up. But the Lord literally reconnected his this area of his neck, his spinal cord. Isn't that amazing? And so I'm just releasing this over you. I'm releasing it in the Spirit, just over the body of Christ, that the Lord would once again connect, restore, and strengthen. Amen. In Jesus' name. So, if we position ourselves in the river of the Spirit, then those same rivers will flow forth from us. And worship is key. Worship. I live a lifestyle of worship. I have a little speaker that I carry with me everywhere, and I'm pumping my music, and I'm, Jesus! Who the heck cares about the devil? Get into the Lord's presence, and the devil flees. Amen. But so often we try to fight the devil. Lord, see devil. Leave him alone. Focus on Jesus and let his presence overflow you. And it really is not an issue anymore. When in Rio, we had amazing things happen. And I just want to share with you, I just feel this so the heart of the Father. He loves you so much. He has amazing plans for you. So I was, remember last year, we were at Convergence on national conference, or a yearly conference, and I was on stage, I was facilitating one of the sessions, I was standing to the side during something, or someone else doing something, and I heard the voice of God whisper in my ear, look at the crowd. I say, okay, I'm looking. I felt like the daddy heart, Father God saying to me, this is a small crowd compared to where I'm taking you. So there's 1,500 people, and I hear the voice of God saying, this is a small crowd compared to where I'm taking you. I'm like, is this God? Is this ego? What is this? I hope it's God. And then in Rio, we had amazing experiences. We connected with a church group in Brazil, And over the week, about 231 people got physically healed. In the one meeting, the translator and me, we were missing one another. And I just heard the voice of God saying, rebuke the devil, rebuke evil. So I rebuked evil. And the translator, we were missing, it wasn't working. So I just said, I rebuke the evil in this place in Jesus' name. The next moment, it seemed like half of the church were manifesting demons. It's like kids, six-year-old kids were on the ground manifesting demons. The dance group were falling over one another, manifesting demons. It was wild. The presence of God came and people were powerfully set free. They said they've never experienced anything like it. How cool is that? In other meetings, we had like outpouring of the Holy Spirit, like 80 to 100 people would encounter the Holy Spirit, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and amazing things would happen. Amazing things. But every time God would come, things would shift in people's lives. But at the end of that week, the Lord told me that he's going to open a massive door in Brazil. The last day, the apostle Ari, he told me, the next place you must go to is Manaus in Brazil. It's on the Amazon River, in the middle of the Amazon. City of 2 million people, a church of 8,000 people. And we're going there end of June to do a conference with a church of 8,000 people. And I'm sharing that because it's just so, for me, the heart of Daddy God. He's saying, hey, I've got more planned for you. Hey, I want to blow your mind. Get into my presence, learn to live in and from my presence, and I am going to do amazing things through you. I am not special. Amen. You can agree about that. I am not special. I am not special, but I believe the Lord has called me to encourage his body, to encourage his bride, to say, if you get into my presence, things will change. Things will shift. You will be changed. You will believe. You will increase in hope, and God will start changing lives like you've never seen before. It just happens when you're in his presence. Okay, amen. Okay, so get back to the rivers. So I felt the Lord revealed to me that there are not just one river flowing, even as Jesus said in Ezekiel, there are rivers of the Spirit. So I believe there are five rivers represented by the fivefold ministry. So there's an apostolic flow. Maybe you can put on the diagram there, yeah. Apostolic flow, which is kingdom reign. That's when people are healed. When demons go and the kingdom reigns within someone's life. The real gospel is a powerful gospel. Then there's the prophetic flow. This is all about just, it's worship. It's hosting his presence. It's about positioning yourself in his presence, and everything flows from his presence. That's what I'm speaking to you about this morning. Then you have the pastoral flow. It's relationships flourish and people flourish. There's literally an anointing to see the body of Christ united, or a church united. And I get this, if you check it in the book of Acts, from chapter 2 to chapter 6, you see all five rivers flowing. You see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like the world hasn't seen before. Pentecost, prophetic flow, presence of God comes. Along with that, we see an evangelistic flow where thousands of people come to Christ simply because God is present. We see a supernatural pastoral flow where the body is united. They literally sell their houses for one another. No one told them to. It's just that love for one another, that people were willing to lay down their lives for one another. Pastoral flow, teaching flow. They sat at the apostles. They were receiving the apostles' teaching, and then evangelistic flow, and then obviously apostolic flow. I mean, miracles were happening. Even Peter's shadow was healing people. I mean, we don't even know about Jesus ever that the shadow of Christ would heal people. We don't know about anything like that. But we see with Peter, even his shadow would heal people. That was next level. That was next level. Jesus said, he who believes in me, the same works I do, you will do. And greater works you will do. Again, who are, for who? The special? Oh, you've got the gift of healing. No, I just have the Holy Spirit. He who believes in me, the same works I do, you will do. And greater works you will do. And I'm seeing this in our congregation. People were nowhere. I mean, the one guy, his name is Paul. And 2 years ago, he came to our congregation. He came out of a divorce. Young guy, 27, 28. Came out of divorce. He extremely insecure. He can't look you in the eye even. He is like super insecure. I was like, Jesus, help this boy. He's messed up. And this guy started to get involved in church, started to go on missions trips with us, and his life is absolutely turned around. Almost everybody he prays for gets healed. He, on the street, he leads people to Christ. Amazing things are happening. There's nobody from nowhere, insecure, never had a miracle in his life happen ever, but now he's positioning himself in the Spirit and the kingdom comes. Or for instance, in India, one of our ladies, Sandra, she was praying for a 13-year-old boy, pastor's son. Prayed for him, he got healed. Then she said, I'm going to pray for you now, and then you're going to pray for the rest of the queue. So she prayed for him, I'm releasing grace on your life, be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay, now you, 13-year-old boy, never prayed for anybody in his life for healing, pray. And people got healed as he prayed for them. I think this is super encouraging, because traditionally we would say, oh, they are evangelists, they are awesome, I am not, I suck, okay? Or whatever, you know? We tend to break ourselves down because we look according to our past and we try to find our identity. You cannot look at your past to find your identity. You must look at what God says about you and what His Word says about you. And then you find out who you are. And then you can move in the fullness of God. So this revival that happened in the book of Acts, so it had all five rivers flowing. I believe that when a church has all five rivers flowing, it will be balanced and you will come to the fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4. The purpose of the fivefold ministry is to bring the body of Christ to the fullness of Christ. Isn't that what we're looking for? People are tired of dead religion. They want Jesus. Imagine the church looking like Jesus, because he was apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. He was the whole game. And then he went to heaven, and now he's releasing. There are five rivers. There are five different anointings. If you get into the prophetic anointing, prophetic river, you're going to prophesy and you're going to hear God's voice. When you get into the evangelistic flow, you will experience supernatural conviction moving through you and people will be saved. For instance, one of our ladies in church, she downloaded some of my messages and put it on a CD and gave it to a family member. And then her uncle got into the car driving to work. He's a backslidden Christian, hasn't been going to church for years. He puts in the CD, he's thinking it's music. Next moment, I'm preaching. Shame, man. So I am preaching. And then they gave feedback. Around 20 to 30 minutes into the sermon, the power of God, the conviction of God falls in that car that he starts weeping. He can't drive. Pulls over. Someone else had to drive further. That Sunday, he goes to church for the first time in years. Conviction. Supernatural conviction. Evangelistic flow. You can be highly, highly evangelistic simply because you position yourself in the evangelistic anointing. You're not an evangelist. You can be very evangelistic. Okay, I'm messing with your head now, I guess. That's a new way of thinking. Because we already put ourselves in all these boxes. I am this. I am that. I am deaf. And most of the time, I'm not that and that and that and that. You can be anything if you just get into the Spirit. If you get into His presence. Amen. Okay, so Heaven's Flow. I believe that's a blueprint for ministry. That's what this book is about. It's going to be on Kindle in a month or so from now. Then you can get it. Or maybe we'll send a few copies. And the whole purpose of the book is to renew your mind. You see, you can't just listen to one message and suddenly you need to completely renew your mind. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind. So for instance, like day 12 of the book would say, the truth is the kingdom of God is at hand to those who believe, but out of reach to those who don't. The kingdom of God is at hand for those who believe. You can just stretch forth your hand and the kingdom's going to come. That's what Jesus came to do. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he reached forth his hand and he healed the sick. He first proclaimed the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, and then he demonstrated the kingdom. And so there's a truth for every day. And then there is, I don't often promote books. This is new for me, so I'm just going to go with it. If it's of the Lord, I'm allowed to do this. And then there's like a practically speaking part. How do you know, literally live that out? And then there are declarations, so you can start declaring this over your life. The kingdom of God is at hand. Let's say it. The kingdom of God is at hand. Stretch forth your hand quickly. Come on. Look at your hand. And let's say it, the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. Because that's what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's now. If you have faith and you stretch forth your hand, there's an anointing that will be released. Another declaration, when I lay hands on people, the kingdom of God comes. Another declaration, it is my Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom now. He wants to. So often we think God is like this angry dad that wants to withhold good things from us. He doesn't. He wants to give it to you. He's already given it to you. All every gift in the heavenly place has been made available to us. So anyway, so there are five rivers, five different flavors of anointing. And we need to become desperate for more of God if we want the fullness of Him. And then Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Every one of those rivers is a river of grace, a river of empowerment. Can you put on is it there? Acts 4, 33? It says, and with great power, let's read this together. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Great grace. Five rivers of grace was not just upon the apostles, but upon everybody. And a whole city was turned on its head, and the kingdom came. Amen. Okay, so now I just want to quickly zoom in, and then on the presence, and then we're going to have a time of ministry. We're going to trust God for His presence to come and touch you. About a year ago, we were just preparing for a missions trip, and then I saw a vision of Jerusalem and the gates of Jerusalem. And you know that procession where Jesus entered on the donkey, entered Jerusalem? You know that account, that story? But in this vision, I only saw the donkey walking. I didn't see Jesus. And everybody was cheering and celebrating, but there was just a donkey. I'm like, Jesus, what is this? And then the Lord told me, this is my church. A lot of activity, but I'm not present. Not as I want to be. Not as I want to be, you know? And so I started to ask the Lord, and I realized, you and me, we are like donkeys without His presence. We can do nothing. But when He is with us, we become an invasion of God into a city because we carry Him. We carry His presence. We carry His glory. And we can release His presence wherever we go. This is our greatest honor. But you first need to position yourself in that place till your ears begin to tingle. And then you can release His presence. I still want to call you into this place. Everything looks different from up here in His presence. So you can do literally the same thing, but when God's presence rests upon you, things start happening. When you are in His presence, there's always something happening, always something happening. I mean, we've been experiencing this now over the last, especially since we were in Rio. You see, every time I go on a missions trip, every time we step out, it's like the Lord brings us into an upgrade. There's like a next level of His grace, a next level. And so after we came back from Rio, it would literally just be when we lay hands on people, it's like stuff would happen. Stuff would happen on the inside of them. It's amazing. I love it. I think I'm addicted to it. But I don't know about you. I'm just so tired of going through the motions and lives aren't truly changed. Wouldn't it be amazing if you and I don't need to argue the atheist into the church? But we can just demonstrate the kingdom and they will. No argument. Let me just show you. God is powerful. Smith Wigglesworth, guy, British guy, you know, man of God, powerful man of God. He prophesied in the 1940s that the end time revival will be so powerful that the hospitals will be emptied out as they are taken to church to be healed. I say, yes, in Jesus' name. I'm not going to argue with you. Let me show you. Jesus loves you. Let me show you He's powerful. So I'm going to just show you one of the photos, Josie Costa, testimony. Josie Costa, lady from Rio de Janeiro. I prayed for her around the 9th or the 10th of December. She had lymphoma cancer, 4B, that's how they labeled it. So she had it in her lymph glands, lymphoma cancer of the lymph. Lymphoma cancer, and it spread into the bone marrow. So it spread all over her body, and all her glands were swollen and things. She was dying, there was just no way she's going to make it. And she started chemotherapy. So I prayed for her. And I said, well, how we do it, we pray and we say, obviously in the name of Jesus, be healed. But we just first welcome God's presence. The presence of God, come. Be healed in Jesus' name. And then we say, now test your body. Test yourself. So then she went to her neck to test. And then her eyes went big. All the swollen lymph glands were gone. And I forgot about it, made a note of it. And then in January, I went onto Facebook, and Facebook was going wild. I was tagged in a Brazilian post. And there was like 200 or 180 comments and likes and shares. It was going wild. The Brazilians are very passionate. Very passionate about everything. Even Facebook, yes! And then I saw her testimony that she was actually genuinely healed on that day, that moment. And I went to the doctors, they did all the tests, and she was healed. No cancer. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a hand. Come on. Yes. Jesus, powerful. Another story, is another photo of a guy that we prayed for. It's not a name there. Just go down a bit. Okay, you can't really see it so well. This is Marcelo. He was a police officer. Very tough life, tattoos on his body, very, very tough life. And the guy on the right is the one pastor, the apostle's son, Pastor Jorge, Pastor Tiago. And Pastor Tiago went in that week when we were there, he had his hair cut. The guy on the left is his hairdresser. And he was telling all the stories of the things that God was doing. And then this guy said, I know someone that has cancer and is dying. And this was Marcelo. And so Marcelo came. He's not a Christian. Doesn't have a relationship with God. Very tough life. His skin was yellow. His eyes were yellow. He had pancreatic cancer. It's a sign. You can go look on Wikipedia. Sign of pancreatic cancer. Anyway, so we prayed for him for healing. And then the Lord started to give us prophetic words for him. That God's going to raise him up, and he's going to go around testifying to many people of what God has done for him. And he's not even a Christian, but we led him to the Lord right there. And he was walking up and down. He said, I really feel better. And then about a month or so later, he went for 5 biopsies where they took out pieces out of pancreas. Not a sign of cancer. Completely healed. Came back to the church. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? A man who's had this really, really tough life. We have the opportunity just to love on him, then release the word God's heart over him, get healed, and there you have an evangelist. Boom. It's that easy. It's that easy. When we live from his presence, it is that easy. Imagine people would in this community start talking, man, if you're sick, go to that church. And they come, and they get healed. Imagine that. But then you have to create a culture, a community where his presence reigns and where the kingdom comes. Amen. Okay, so praise the Lord. Okay, I just want to end off with just something about healing. Because often people are like, isn't healing, physical healing, especially like a side issue? Let me quickly ask you a question. What did Jesus primarily do? The three things Jesus did primarily during his ministry. Well, he preached the gospel of the kingdom, he healed the sick, and he cast out demons. That's what he did. That's the three primary things he did. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, he healed the sick, he cast out demons. What did he teach his disciples to do? He sent them out, 2 by 2. Preach the gospel of the kingdom, heal the sick, and cast out demons. That was what he taught them. That's what he trained them to do. And then they went out. What did he say in the Great Commission? Guys, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, teaching them what I taught you. What did he teach them? Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Because God loves the whole person. The heart, the soul, and the body. How much of that are we actually doing? It's the heart of the gospel. That's what Jesus did, his disciples did, and the following believers did. How much of that are we doing? We're not. Very small percentage is doing it. And I tell you, it's more about the miracles and the healing. And it does something to your own faith. It does something. You know, it's awesome when people pray for you and bless you. Do you know how amazing it is to pray for people like this and to tell them Jesus loves you? He's real. And I believe he's going to touch you right now. And it happens. it absolutely transforms your walk with God. You live differently. You live differently. Because our faith, otherwise it becomes very theoretical. And the Lord wants us to break out of that. So, just want to read this verse, last verse, Mark 5:25-30. This is Jesus. He's walking amongst the crowd. There's a lady with a flow of blood for 12 years. And she, as it says there, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. It says, and immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? This is so profound in terms of the theology around God's will to heal us. Jesus didn't even know that she was there. You know, often when we think about, you know, things about miracles or breakthrough and anything, we sort of think sometimes, have I done enough? Have I prayed enough? Does God really want to do this? So normally we would say, Jesus, he didn't even know she's there. He couldn't turn to her and say to her, oh, woman, you know, you've got too much sin in your life and there's all these issues and, you know, you've not been a good person. You've not, you know, I'm not going to heal you today. Sorry. No. She literally just came in contact with the presence of God. The power of God, the Holy Spirit that flowed out of Jesus, and she was healed. Jesus didn't say, be healed in my name. She just came into contact with his presence, and she was changed. That freaks one's theology out completely. Imagine you and I are called to be like Jesus. We position ourselves in the river of the Spirit, and we can literally just go and touch someone and release his presence into their lives. And they are healed and set free and restored in their hearts. Depression goes and boom, healed. It is always the will of God to heal. It is always his will to deliver. When you have 99 out of 100 people getting healed and one doesn't, fine, I'll say maybe that's the will of God. But when there's 1 out of 100 that gets healed, that's not the will of God. When Jesus walked the earth, sometimes it says, and everyone was healed. Everybody was healed. Jesus came to reveal the will of God. Good Father, loves you so much. Now I'm going to touch you and restore you. In Jesus' name. And then just the last one, Acts 19, that you can see that it's for the followers. Acts 19:11. It says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So like a handkerchief from the Apostle Paul that touched his body, anointing soaked into it. And so someone takes it somewhere and throws it onto a demon-possessed person, and the demon screams, wah! And he's free. Presence. Everything flows out of God's presence. Amen. Okay, so I just want to sort of point you into a direction. I don't have, obviously can't say more now, but pursue his presence. Let his presence transform you, and then let his presence flow through you to transform other lives. All things are possible when we're in his presence. Okay, so I want to encourage you to step into that. I felt this morning that the Lord wants to come and heal hearts here. Restoration of hope. I feel the Lord wants to heal depression. I feel God wants to remove darkness that might be on some of our souls or hearts. Just reading some of the things I felt. Just for interest's sake, is there anybody with a foot problem, especially the left ankle or left foot? You do? Your left, specifically. Okay. Awesome. Praise Jesus. So sometimes the Lord reveals left. You know, when you start seeing God move powerfully, then you like really get excited when someone is sick. Yes. Awesome. Come on. How good is that? Okay. So we're going to pray for left ankle, left foot. Okay. Just stand with me just for a moment and let's just step into His presence. Because I feel God wants to heal hearts and souls and bodies. He wants to touch our whole being. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You. Thank You, Jesus, that it's always Your will to heal and set free. Thank You that You are here right now. And You are so good. It is always Your will to restore, to make whole. And so, Father, right now we release hope over this congregation. A healing of hearts. A setting aside of the things of the past. And to look forward into the glory of God. God, we welcome You here right now. Come. Come and restore. Come and heal. Breathe new life over every heart. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay, so if you have any physical disease in your body, can you just come forward, come stand here? I'm going to pray for you. So with the ankle, just come forward. Any other physical things? Just come here. Just stand over here. Let's trust the Lord for that. I also felt that there might be people here, you've given up on your dreams. I feel that some of us have given up on our dreams. Who feel that you've given up on your dreams? Just give me a hand. Show me a hand. Okay. Okay, come on. We're going to trust the Lord to breathe new life into you. Anybody that really battles with it, like a heaviness on your soul, a heaviness you feel like oppressed sometimes, you just really lack joy. Anybody like that? Okay, then also just come and stand here in the front. And a restoration of dreams, come stand with us. I want to say to you, church is beautiful. The body of Christ is destined to be beautiful and glorious. And it just begins with each one of us, His heart, coming to touch our hearts. So let's open our hands like this. God, we welcome Your presence here. Your presence. Breathe on the slain. Your presence. Breathe on our hearts. God, right now, God, we welcome Your presence. Your presence, God, Your presence, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let Your presence come right now, God. In Jesus' name, Father, right now we take authority over every darkness that wants to steal our joy. In Jesus' name, out of these lives, out of these lives. We take authority over every darkness, every doubt, every fear. In the name of Jesus, out of their lives. And we welcome the life and hope and the goodness of God. Let it flood into every life here right now. Kingdom of God, come now. We declare the kingdom is at hand. Jesus is powerful. Thank You, Lord. We enforce the victory of the cross right now. Breathe, Holy Spirit, breath of God, breathe. Breathe on these slain. Dreams that have been shattered. Doubts, fears. Right now, God, resurrect. We release the resurrection life of Jesus. Just say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, presence of God. Fill. In the name of Jesus, every heart here, come to life. Now, I'm reminded of a month or two ago, there was a lady who's been for like 10 years, hopeless, depressed. She was in a meeting, had a touch from God, free. Everything changed. Everything changes in His presence. Holy Spirit, come. Full flood, every heart, every life, every mind. Lord, right now we thank You for the power of repentance over each and every one. In Jesus' name. Lord, for a turning of the hearts, a turning of the minds, Lord, to look away from the negatives, to look away from the darkness, and to look into the glory, the beauty of our Savior God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank You, God, right now. Awaken. 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 Hallelujah. Alistair, you're welcome to join in if you want to pray for someone. God, we welcome You. We welcome You. Just focus on Jesus. Just focus on Jesus. Just look into His beauty. Look into His majesty. Look into His glory and walk to Him. Let Him renew right now. Right now. Be renewed in Jesus' name.